Aren't y'all glad mercy walked in? I like that song, but I'm also reminded mercy walked in already. It's just a reunion up there of mercy. So we look forward to that. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3. That's a reference one. That's not where we're going. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Y'all are reminded that in the book of Genesis, it says that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were there and says, "Let us make man in our own image." So in that image, the emotions that we have, and oftentimes we allow our mind to think that God is up there in heaven somewhere, and yes, we know He hears our prayers. We don't have any problem with that, but sometimes we think, well, he's not understanding my feelings. And unfortunately, we live in a society that feelings are everything, okay? It's almost to the point that we shouldn't have a brain that God gave us to think with. We just worry about our feelings. And I guess I'm kind of an old dinosaur. If your feelings are hurt, I'm sorry. Now grow up and put your big boy britches on. It just happens, okay? We all get our feelings hurt at one time or another, and you get over it and get happy in the same drawers you got upset in. That's just part of it. But with those emotions oftentimes that we have, you know, to realize God had those same emotions. That's how we got them. Joy, sorrow, jealousy, any of those can be good or bad, like anything else. I mean, we look at the drugs that we have in the right amount, in the right order of giving them, they heal us and they help to provide us a quality of life. But when they're abused, they become a detriment to life, okay? And so the Lord is a very jealous God, in that He tells us, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And He is a jealous, but His jealousy and all of His emotions are righteous. Jesus showed that of having anger when He went into the temple and they had basically made it a den of thieves, as He said, and He cleared that temple. But in His case, He's able to take that and make that righteous anger, in that it went to the point for what it was supposed to do, and He shut it off. Our problem is we don't always have the good sense to know when to stop. We keep it going. This morning we're going to talk about another one of those emotions with all of that said up front. And that's pride. The title of the message is Pride versus God. When we talk about, you know, I'm proud of my son, or I'm proud of my daughter, I'm proud to be a Christian, or I'm proud to be an American. And one, most of all, we all understand. You foreigners are beginning to come to understand it by moving here. We're proud to be Texans, right? Even if some of them, like Mater, still can't speak English, we're trying to teach him. We've been working on that for a while. But that pride, if we take it where it's not a overshadowing of everything, it is good to take pride in what you see. I'm proud to have Jerry and Deanna here this morning because I know what their spirit is. That pride is not a haughty one, but one that I'm glad they humble themselves to come here. Does that make sense? So when you have pride in a negative, the antidote to that is humility. And so let's look this morning about what God has to say about pride and understand from the outset, sin entered this world because of pride. Okay? When the old devil came as the serpent before Eve and Adam, and God had told them, don't eat of that fruit, if you look back and read that, what the devil tempts him with is he says, you will be like God. You will know everything. Ever wish sometimes you didn't know what you do know? Amen. I wished we had never known sin, right? But out of that, it says that Eve looked at it and it looked good, it smelt good, so therefore it must taste good. And it wasn't what she basically did in that. And ladies, I'm not after you because old dumb man followed right along, said yes, dear, and did it too, okay? But what they looked at that aspect was knowing what God had told them, they basically said, I know better. That is pride. We don't listen to God's counsel and advice. We do it our way. That's pride. That's a negative pride. So Proverbs chapter 16 invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. If you are able, we'll begin in verse 18. 18 to 23. In verse 18, pride, and of course, Solomon is the author of this and granted the wisdom from God, so he imparts that to us. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He who heeds the words wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increase learning. Understanding is the wellspring of light to lift him who has it. But the correction of the fool is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Good things to think on. You may be seated. Right off the bat, it says that pride goes before destruction. Folks, when you look around the world in which we live right now, our world has that pride. We know better than what God's Word says. We're going to do it our way. I know one of those favorite songs that Mr. Frank Sinatra sang was, I Did It My Way. And although he's talking about that, as I more and more listen to the words of that, I think, that isn't the way I want to do it. Because I'm reminded of this scripture. If I do it all my way, it's going to lead to destruction. It leads to a train wreck. Everyone in this room, I am sure, has come to that point that, well, my way wasn't the best way. I sure wished I had listened. And whether that's from listening to the Lord, listening to your mom and dad, your grandparents, your coach, or what, your boss, whatever it is, you realize that, you know, next time I ought to be a little wiser. Well, we just read in the last part. That wisdom comes and God gives that wisdom. Jesus taught about this. Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Mark. Mark, in the book of Mark, in chapter 10, Jesus is talking to the disciples. You know, a lot of times we can look at them and old disciples and we can say, wow, how could y'all been so dumb? You're right there with Jesus, right? But I'm thankful for them disciples. Because if they didn't look stupid, it would be me. And it would be you. because they exemplify exactly how we are. And the Lord was patient with them, kind of like your last song, Mercy Walked In. So in exactly what this happens here in this text, they have, it starts out in verse 35, I won't read all of this in chapter 10, but James and John come to the Lord and they talk about wanting to sit one on his right hand and one on his left hand. And he goes through an explanation that they don't realize what they're asking for, which is totally true. And as it comes down, then the other 10 of the disciples hear about it. Well, now they become incensed. And the scripture is nice to say that they are agitated and bickering amongst themselves. Now, I know we would never bicker with each other, right? Yeah, we would never have jealousy run through our spirit at all. And feel like, well, why are they deserving and I'm not? You need to look over here because I can tell you exactly what you're doing wrong and how well I've done it instead. That is pride, okay? That's pride. And so Jesus comes to them and Jesus begins to teach them. And in the same token, because it's a living word, it's why God gives it to us, He's teaching us. Notice what he says here, beginning in verse 41, and I'll start with it. And when the ten heard, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. That means they was bickering and then arguing, okay? Probably coming to the point of wanting to fist fight. But here comes mercy. Verse 42, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be the slave of all. Forever the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what do we take from that? As I said, there's a good pride. All of our emotions can have a good side, but we can go to an excess of those emotions where they become a negative, especially those that will impact our relationship with the Lord. We've already read that the Lord in Proverbs, that the Lord says that pride leads to destruction. While we're here, turn over to James, the book of James. And to James chapter 4, verse 6. As I've told y'all before, whenever you find things in Scripture, I always remember in school, if the teacher repeated it three times or banged on the desk or whatever, that was something I needed to remember. I was going to see it again on the test. You say, well, preacher, this ain't a test. You're wrong. Test, the life is a test. And it's the time that we learn to grow. It tests our faith. It tests our foundation of which we believe so that we know that our belief and our foundation in Christ is solid. It never gives up. He's always faithful. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Exactly the same thing that James is replying there is what we find back over here in Mark. He says, if you really want to be the greatest, if you want to be the best, the number one in everything that you do, you have to be the least. In my lifetime, some of the things that I've had the opportunity, and as I would tell you the counsel is, to be the leader of anything, an organization, to be a boss at work, a leader of a family. It doesn't matter. Old man told me one time when I got to one of those, been elected to a certain position, he said, and I said, boy, I sure hope the Lord gives me the wisdom to know how to execute this. He said, I want to tell you something. I was a lot younger. See, I can be the old man giving the advice now. And he said, young man, they entrusted that position to you because they have confidence in you. And if you really want to do your job well, the greater the leader you want to be, the more servant you have to be. And he not only was wise in what he said, but he was biblical. We always have to have leaders, folks. But we need godly leaders, meaning they are servants in every facet. I don't care if it's our government, if it's our church, if it's our home. If you want to be the leader, you must first be the bigger servant. If we want to be more like Jesus, we have to be willing to serve Him. That's what our life's about, is understanding that servanthood. The Lord said it Himself. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And therefore, He was willing to even give that ultimate sacrifice that you and I might have grace and mercy by going to that cross. So what does that mean for you and I applying to our lives and daily living? That means that we have to humble ourselves, that our way may not always be the best way. And even if we know that our way is the right way, we have to present that in a manner that is humble. Notice what he said above the verses above that. He said, those who are leaders and rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. I have been guilty of that. When my son asked me, well, why I got to do it this way, Dad? Because I said so. That is lording it over it. Rather than being humble and say, well, son, here's the reason you want to do it this way, because if you go over here doing it what you think is right, here is the outcome, the destruction. But if you follow this path, it comes out the right way. And you can put that in any scenario you want to. Okay? If you're in there cooking, you know, and I'm a firm believer, my grandma taught me how to cook. And I'm very proud that she did. So when I lived by myself, I didn't have to worry about who was going to cook. I could cook. Okay? In fact, I even surprised my wife when I cooked her a meal one time. She goes, you know, this is really good. What'd you expect? In a humble way. But when you're doing that and you're getting instructions on how to do it, it's not the way you always initially may think that you ought to take care of that. But it is being listening and then doing the same thing, sharing it with someone else down line. Someone took the time and the humility to tell you about Jesus Christ. You ever wonder, I mean, really dissected, why? You know, we look around at our world. We see all that's going on. Brother Kevin and I had this discussion the other day. And we see things and we sit there and go, how can they not see it? How can they not see this is wrong, that it is evil, that it's not God's way? Same thing was in Jesus' day, right? Sadducees, Pharisees. It's real simple. The answer is their pride. So why do not all people realize they need to come to Jesus? He paid a price for them. And the number one reason is their pride. You see, when you and I have to admit that we don't have the best way, that we are in need of a Savior, that we can't make it right ourselves, we can't justify ourselves enough before God to say that we're good enough or done the right things that we might go to heaven, it means we have to humble our spirit and say, Lord, I can't do this. Old Mike and I had that discussion a long time ago. Both of us were raised, by golly, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. And probably most of y'all was raised that way. And it's not, if done right, it's not a bad teaching. But the problem is, generally we hear that when we're young and dumb, and we just run off with it and go, you told me to do it my way. I need to do my own thing, my own bootstraps. You see, that's when pride takes over. And the other thing I've learned about pride, when pride takes over on your emotion, your brain shuts down. You become stupid. Because pride overrides wisdom. That's why Solomon can write, pride, the heart of a proud, leads to destruction. And it's also why we read in James that God says he abhors the prideness of man. And I'm paraphrasing to a degree for emphasis that God sees that we are placing ourselves above him, which goes back to the very first commandment. Even when Jesus, when they questioned him about the commandments, you remember? He said, they're all there, but he sums it up with these two commandments. And the first one was again what? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy mind, right? And the second was, love your neighbor as yourself. But God, my neighbor is stupid. He's a moron. And he don't do nothing right. Why do I have to love him? And more than likely, he ain't had a bath in about 3 weeks. And he's nasty. And he's just irritating. We laugh. But you see, we have to humble ourselves to be a servant to that neighbor. We have to be willing to go that extra mile, even though he doesn't deserve it. See, that's what Jesus did for me. He went that extra mile. He went to the cross. And I didn't deserve it. But he humbled himself. He humbled himself before the Creator of all things, his Father, just as he was in that garden where he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. That's humbling ourselves. Jesus also says to you and I, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. And then we start following everything the world says. Old Coach Bobby that was here, he always say, you can't just talk the talk. You got to walk the talk. People learn more and see more in you and me in how we act than in what we say. I'm always amazed. And we're in that political season. To hear all of the rallies and everything that we do in the debates and everything people say, listen with a real good ear to what they say. And then turn around and compare it to what they've done. It don't take very long to figure that deal out, that some of them are definitely talking the walk, but they ain't walking the walk. That's not being prideful. That's listening. B.C. read in the scriptures this morning about be discerning of every spirit. And God grants you and I wisdom when we humble ourselves and ask him for that wisdom. You want to know why Solomon was the wisest man ever? Because when God asked him as a young man what was fixing to take the throne, he said, ask whatever you will, I will give it. And that young man had enough humility to say, I need wisdom. Now, I'm not as young is old King Solomon. But I sure do realize I need wisdom every day. And you need wisdom every day of your life. I don't care how old you get, how young you are. You need wisdom every day to not do foolish things that, as God says, leads to destruction. Our humbleness, that doesn't mean that we're weak, doesn't mean that people that overrun us. Jesus, by our example, was not weak by any form that you can conceive. He stood accused of things that he never did, and yet he humbled himself to God's will, not to react to overcome it. He didn't get put on that cross. He allowed to be put on that cross, folks. He gave it. He humbled himself to that cross. He humbled himself to the death. He's the Son of God. Yes, he was in man form, but he was every bit God. That old song, he could call 10,000 angels. That's just a minuscule number, because my Bible says one angel came in and killed 185,000. So can you imagine what 10,000 of them could do? But he humbled himself. See, we see humility through the eyes of the world just as we see pride. Oh, you ought to be proud of yourself, proud in everything that you do. Humility, that's weakness. Everybody will run you over. You can't get anywhere if you're humble. You've got to have pride in things. Take charge. And as always, the devil takes everything that God puts out there as wisdom and flips it upside down and turns it around to just the opposite. I encourage you to take a self-reflection of where you're at. I don't do it by chance, and I don't say this in a prideful way. It's like a lot of times you come to me and you say, man, that was a really good sermon. And my reply to you, and don't mistake that when I give it to you, and it's not just a pat reply, it's not me, it's him. Because if I ever accept that it was me, that quenches that spirit. I don't want that spirit quenched. And I'm not being selfish. Yeah, I don't want it for me. I want to be able to provide for you for what God called me. But most reason I don't want to quench that spirit is for you. Because then I just come up here and babble. I do that enough as it is. I want his voice, his word, his spirit to speak. Not me. And in your daily lives, and I try to, the best I can, I try to take that over. And I'm using me. Not because I know everything, by no stretch of the imagination. But I know me. I can use me as the example. I try to take that and relate it over into my everyday life, into my business. I'm not successful at it always. I'll be the first to admit that. I'm still under construction. And I don't need just a little trimming. I need construction. Okay? But folks, when we realize it is greater to serve than to be served, we begin to imitate. We begin to start understanding what the Lord said when he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Because in that, if I really want to express my love for him and you want to express it for you, you keep his commandments. You search his scripture to know his character so that you please him. It's not any different in our other relationships. I want to do things that please my wife. I don't want her mad. I'm tired, you know, tried that once. I'm tired of sleeping with one eyeball open. She hurt you. I enjoy eating food. I saw that happen one day. Son asked when he was real young, what's that? And I watched this plate go flying across the kitchen. A dead ringer into the sink. And she said, you can go to bed. That boy's never questioned As y'all can tell by his health and size, he's never questioned anything at all she's ever cooked again. He may figure it out real quick, you know, like us men do. Well, Mom, I don't think we've ever had that before. What, you know, what is this that, you know, in a kind, gentle way? And she'll tell him, plate doesn't go flying anymore. Little example. If it made her feel that way, how do you think it makes God feel when we claim to be his? And we go, God, you got this one wrong. I'll take care of it. When I finally come to that, it's like, you know, before any decision happens, before anything takes place, Lord, what would you have me do? How do you want me to respond? And that means sometimes I write out emails and I've learned to put them over in the draft section and give it a day and go back and read them tomorrow morning and you go, yeah, I really don't want to send that. But he'll also give me the tenor in what I need to say, if I need to say anything at all. Sometimes I just need to vent, right? And he's the best one to listen to that venting. So I encourage you to take that in retrospect, especially those of you who are Christian. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, I know it can be very difficult to say that you can't do it all on your own. It doesn't at all mean that you're weak, and the world will tell you, oh, you're one of those Jesus characters that's got to have a crutch. Well, if that's what it is, in order for me to serve my Lord, give me them crutches. Let's get on it. Won't be the first time I was ever on one. Probably won't be the last. Well, I hope it's the last. But don't let pride stand in your way. If you don't know Jesus Christ, don't let pride stand in the way of you spending all of eternity in hell. Because that is where you're headed. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't care what the world says. There's one or two options when you die. You either go to heaven, and you match the scriptures in Thessalonians, if you draw your last breath, you're currently in the presence of him. Or you don't know him and you go to hell and you're in the presence of the devil. That's it. There's no other way. We try to complicate things. We try to make it all fluff. There ain't no fluff. It's black and white. If that offends you, tough. Take it up with God. Argue with him. I will give you a word of advice. I've tried it. Doesn't work. He knows best always. So we're going to give an invitation. Don't let pride be your hindrance, because that's the best tool the devil has, is pride. Always has been, always is. It's pride that got him kicked out of heaven, that he knew better than God. All of these little theories and everything that man comes up with, you can defeat every one of them. Don't let pride stand in your way of meeting Jesus Christ. To those of you who are Christians also, as we have this invitation, don't let pride keep you from growing. Don't let pride quench the Holy Spirit of what he wants to do in your life. Listen to it. Discern who's speaking. And then humble yourself. Listen to what he has to say. Let's pray.